Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Ground ball towards short. Flip to second. Fletcher's turn. Double play ends the game. A very, very frustrating series against the Braves. The Astros drop all three to Atlanta as the Braves win it 6-1 on Monday, 6-2 last night, and today coming from behind down two in the eighth and then scoring a run in the tenth to win it 5-4.
Astros get swept by the Braves. Third time they've been swept this year in six series already. Drop the Astros to 6-14, fifth in the AL West. They next go on the road to Washington, to Chicago, and then Bijani, you said they
go to Mexico to
play the Colorado Rockies.
Yeah.
But we'll worry about that road trip when time comes. Right now, Sean, this is I'll be honest with you, man. I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear about it's early, it's 162, these guys will figure it out. There are major issues in Houston. It's some of the highest paid guys on the team. It's the same mistakes and the same lack of performance, not showing up in big moments over and over and over again at this point in time. And I'm at a point, I was cool up to this point of being the guy that's like, all right, look, I understand, man. Some folks are just, it's early, it's a long season, there's 162, and that's cool. Feel how you want to. I'm at a point where I don't even want to hear that anymore.
Yeah, but I hate to be that guy for people because you're frustrated because of the way they're playing. They're throwing the ball around the field. They're not hitting in the clutch. Their pitching is been horrible in the back end. You gave the stat. It's now 31-4, the numbers in which they've been outscored in the 8th and 9th inning and 10th inning now combined with two extra inning games they've played in this season, both losses. That's why it's frustrating, because they've not played championship baseball. They've not played complete games.
Well, no, it's worse than that, Sean. I mean, you're a half glass full guy, I guess.
It's 162.
To me, it's worse. Yeah, it's 162. But what are you going to do? Is a first baseman going to appear? Is Ryan Pressly broken, or you think he's going to be okay? Is Hader going to be all right?
One's got to disappear before another one appears. In fact, maybe even two. Because at this point in time, as frustrated as you are, I would just say, get Jose Abreu and John Singleton, package them up, and get you a nice brand new box of baseballs, and bring Joey Loperfido's butt up, and go ahead and platoon Mauricio Dubon and Victor Caratini at first base. Loperfido can play there too a little bit. Like, make it happen, because you need new life, new juice, better bats in this lineup.
And I agree wholeheartedly with whatever move, and I like where your head's at, but that's not normal. That's not, it's a long season. That's being proactive and going, man, we're 20 games in and we got a problem. And it's not, we're talking about Abreu. It's not just Abreu. Like, what in the world is wrong with Pressly? Like, this ain't the same guy. This ain't the same, it don't look like the same. I just watched the pitching coach walk out there and talk to him, and he didn't even look him in the eye. He acted like he wasn't even there in a mound visit. It's not crazy. It's not far-fetched to think that Ryan Pressly has checked his ass out because of the Hader situation. That's the worst case scenario, but I mean, it's not a crazy thought at this point.
But Presley's been around long enough. Like,
okay,
he's pitched more innings in his career, I think, in the eighth and seventh innings than he has in the ninth. Like, that's a guy who understands my stuff is good enough to play this game. No matter where I'm at, I need to execute.
Sure.
He's probably more frustrated at the fact that he's not doing the latter than anything else.
Right, right. No, I agree with that. I mean, there's no disagreement. That's a hell of a point. But what I'm watching right now, I guess my pushback to you, Sean, is that the reason I get frustrated, whether it's football, baseball, because I don't see the answer. I don't see in the next 20 games how these problems are going to be fixed. Like, that's my concern, is like, at what point is it, you know, if you could just flip a switch and say, hey, man, Verlander's back, so your problems in the pen are fixed. Your problem at first base is fixed. Hey, man, I don't know who the hell's going to be your center fielder, but it's fixed. Like, it's that's not walking through the door. So that's where my concern, lies. But nonetheless, let's stick right now, because I get off in the weeds. You know I will, Sean. Let's talk about the game today and let people know. I mean, here's how this thing went down, right? Another silver lining. J.P. France gives you five innings, two earned runs, and leaves the game and hands the ball to Rafael Montero in the sixth. And those guys give you a chance to win this thing. You're up 4-2 in the eighth with what appears to be a game that's all but sewn up, and you end up losing in extra innings. But to start with, J.P. France, big outing by him. Given the circumstances of this starting rotation, it was good to see on the heels of Hunter Brown having a good outing yesterday, quality start. It was great to see and refreshing to see J.P. France do his thing early on in this ballgame.
That's a shot in the arm that they needed, because you're going to need J.P. You're going to need Hunter down the stretch, because nothing is guaranteed with Verlander coming back. Nothing is guaranteed with Christian, with this entire rotation, because of the way that it transpired last year. You want a little fun factoid? This may be an unfair stat, but the next time you see this Astros ball club, it's going to be with Justin Verlander on the mound Friday in D.C. against the Nationals. When he takes the mound and throws his first pitch, that's going to be the 23rd different pitcher the Astros will have used this season. They used 24 all of last season.
Yeah,
it's hit them hard. It's hit them early. And I think that in and of itself is a good thing, coupled with the fact that, you know what, nobody else in this AL West division's run away with anything right now. The Rangers aren't exactly tearing the cover off the ball. Everybody else is playing mediocre baseball in the AL West right now, too. That's another reason why, for the people that get frustrated about me saying it's early.
Me, damn it.
It is. It is, and especially when that is the case. If we're going to be excited about Verlander and Fromber coming back, but you're already frustrated and you're ready to throw in the towel, and you don't think those guys are going to make the atmosphere in the dugout, in the clubhouse, better on the plane, in the bus, just the feeling of watching, you know, a future Hall of Famer do his work and playing behind him and hitting for him, what are we doing here? Why play the other 142? Be a little positive.
And I ain't got it.
It's early until it's not. And if you don't want to hear it's early, then, I don't know, give this stat a warm embrace.
Okay, let me give make me feel. I'm waiting for you to make me feel better now.
Well, you want me to make you feel worse.
I'm in a bad spot.
You want me to come over there and hunker down with you and like, oh man, the season's over. So okay, here you go.
No. What I want people to do. Is quit sitting there and acting like, oh, they look, back in 82 they started 8-14 and did this, and back, no, I mean, they're 6-14 and it's ugly as hell.
But you ain't gonna get that from your manager Joe Espada right now, even, who again told you to reference the back of the baseball card with Jose Abreu today.
There you go.
Yeah, look at the back of the baseball card.
And you know what? That's the mindset of, oh, it's 162 and it's early. That's the mindset. Look at the back of the baseball card.
That, or,
come on, man.
You know,
we've all looked at the front of the swing. We've all looked at him in the batter's box recently. It's not good.
Yeah, the back of the baseball card though expires at some point.
Yes, sir.
It dwindles. It withers away. At some point in time, the greatest of the great put a really poor one or two or three seasons together to end a career, and you just can't get those back. It happens all the time. That's why they're few and far between, guys going out quote unquote on top. That doesn't happen. It's about accepting and understanding that it's time to move on from a poor decision made by Jim Crane last offseason, and he's the one that's going to have to end up pulling that trigger. It's probably not going to be Dana Brown.
Well, I tell you what, Joe's trying to make it obvious, isn't he? Keep moving old boy down the
line. I know, but you can't. That's the problem. That should be your tell right there. If you're looking for a particular thing from Joe Espada, look at what he's doing. You can't keep moving to bring you down from 5 to 6 to 7 to 8 to 9. Pretty soon, his ass is going to be holding up the RIP tombstone. That's how far down you're going to kick his ass. And at some point, you're going to have to make a decision to where you can't move down, but you got to move out.
Right.
I mean, you can't stay here kind of a thing with Jose Abreu, and it's going to be a $59 million costly decision for the Astros, but maybe one well worth it.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's no, like you said, there's no more room to move down right now. 0-2 today, was batting in the 8 hole, so We'll see what ends up happening there. But today, because the thing about Abreu, and Ron has mentioned this multiple times, I did not see the play, but apparently in Presley's inning, one of the runs was not an earned run that Presley gave up. Apparently there was a Pena Abreu error, another one that
both.
On that one play though.
Abreu
got it. So it's another one defensively where Abreu typically is a sure hand there and again, to Ron brings this up all the time. It's like now if you're not going to be any good at the plate, and then you're going to also be a guy in the field that's not doing. It's tough, obviously, at first base to do those things. But good first basemen make it look easy and make the infielders look better instead of compounding mistakes. I mean, he did it again today, and one of the runs was on those guys. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with Abreu. But again today, it was an ugly inning. The ball was handed to Presley in the eighth with a 4-2 lead. When he left, it was 4-4 tie ball game. Goes into extra innings. And here's another tough part for me to swallow. Bottom of the ninth inning, tie ball game. You've got the top of your lineup up. Altuve, Alvarez, and Bregman. They don't do anything in the ninth. And then in the tenth, you got Kyle Tucker, you got Diaz, and you got Pena. With a guy on second, and you get a fly ball that moves the guy to third, and then you get a double play ball from Pena. You got the sticks that you want at the plate in the tie ball game or in a one-run ball game, and they don't produce again. So it's just
– Hey, but you know what? You got to pick guys up. Pena came in on a 10-game hitting streak. He went 0-5 today. He hadn't gone 0-5 all season. Yep. But, yep. I mean, everybody's not going to hit every single day. If you did, you'd be the 1927 Yankees.
Yep.
You know what
yep.
I'm saying? It's like – stop expecting perfection, right. But expect, an elite ball club to pick each other up when guys are not performing. And that's what we're not seeing right now, albeit just through 20 games. It is a very difficult 20-game watch.
Yeah, when you look, ninth and 10th inning and your squad is outscored 31-4, that's overtime. That's consistently being bad.
You know what we call it on Area 45 at night?
What is it?
Ass.
Yes.
Yes, it is. It is bad, man. I mean, that's hard to do. It's hard to believe that this lineup and those bats I just mentioned in the eighth and ninth inning in 20 ball games have scored 4 runs. Two of which were non-factors last night in that game when it was, I think it was 6-0 at the time. So tough one, tough time to be an Astros fan. Hopefully they can right the ship and we'll see what happens.
Say goodnight to the Astros.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, the Texans are unveiling the unis next Tuesday. We stoked, boys?
Woo-hoo!
Where are we at, man?
Let's go.
Yeah.
I'm a unis guy. I'm a unis guy. Very, very few things turn me on in the offseason like a uni drop. I'm talking about a uniform drop.
Well, I thought you were what about a panty drop?
I was going to say, you could have gone that.
You know, I mean,
we just got done talking about Megan Thee Stallion. So
it's a panty dropper.
Well, I mean, my wife may believe I am.
Am what?
One of those.
Oh.
You know what I mean? I mean, maybe.
It's
panty
dropper.
The days of my painting with a broad brush about a panty dropping, them days are over, Chief. The days are over for you, boy. I'm stoked about these unis, though, man. I think now the Texans have built this thing up. I think the one risk that the Texans have taken, I guess, is when Hannah and Cal McNair for months on ends are talking about these jerseys and are talking about involving the fans and listening to the fans. When you do drop those uniforms, you better hit it out of the park.
Yes.
You better hit it out of the park because those fans you're talking about, now you've built up the momentum, you built up the hype, you built up the expectations. It's going to be good or it's going to be bad depending on what these fans think about these unis.
I don't think they can win it, really, because you've hyped it up so much.
Probably
it's like being a first overall draft pick. Or how many of those guys ever really live up to the expectation, right? Weren't you and I just talking about this the other day with Jadeveon Clowney? Like, because he was a number one overall draft pick, I mean, people are going to crap all over him like, oh, he never lived up to it. But if he was a second rounder, people would be like, holy smokes, this guy's a badass. You know, what a great value pick he turned out to be.
Right.
You know, it's like what's done is done. They can't change the unis, but they could definitely deliver a big time FU if, in fact, they did do the H-Town blue right. Because the home and the road jerseys, they're already out there. You know what that looks like. And it's kind of like, meh. But if you hit that H-Town blue out of the park, then to me, that's a big FU to the right people. And that's Amy Adams' stink in Tennessee. You say double that. Rods well to the done. Titans? That's well what I'm done. Here for.
Fake ass Oilers well in Nashville. Yeah.
Boy, you two, y'all, you two's patient. I mean, what am I looking for? Y'all's
vitriol?
Passion. Y'all's sports passion. Hate? I call it passion. It's not always negative, but the passion towards the Titans and the mm-hmm. And the unis and the Adams family is fascinating. It's tremendous.
It burns well deep done, down boys. In my plums.
Well
man.
Done, boys. Well done. All right, I'm gonna come over to Sean's side. Over all them flowers and rainbows. You know what I mean? We got some good news. We got some good news on the Astros front. Couple of the big names with the Astros. We've got updates, and you're gonna like them. You're gonna like them, Houston. This is beautiful now. We couldn't need it more. We couldn't need good news anymore. We got it. Two big names, updates. We'll do that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron Hughley is out. My man Sean Bajani is in. T. Mill is behind the glass as usual. As if you can't tell, they know what's going on. You got the best in the business back there. That's why this thing. That's why this thing sounds the way it does,
Lend
baby.
Lend me your ears, Houston. Let me tickle your ears.
One time. By the way, I like the way you made that somewhat perverted in your Instagram post earlier.
You like that?
You started out with "Lend me your ears." Next thing you know, you're tickling their ears. And
I'll tickle your ears real nice,
two
girl.
Inches deep or something. It's like, come on, man. What's wrong with this? No.
I mean, that was on, a man. Solid drive-by. Can't on, even get mad at
things
it.
Things escalate quickly with you guys.
Yeah. Hey, man, you never know, man. You never know. All right. Look, not all is lost, Astros fans. Reinforcements, baby. They're on the way. I think you probably guess who the hell I'm talking about. These are two monster names that – obviously will help the starting rotation, but I think will also shoot a little confidence into this clubhouse. Framber Valdez, ladies and gentlemen, from our own Adam Spolane, SportsRadio610.com, covers the Astros, covers the Rockets, covers the Texans, does a hell of a job. Heck, I think he was on with Ron, didn't he? Wasn't he on with Ron Monday? Adam
yeah.
Spolane?
Yeah, yeah.
He's reporting, Joe Espada said Framber Valdez continues to play catch, and it's very possible that he returns on the Astros' upcoming road trip. And then he adds to that a couple hours later that Framber Valdez went through a full throwing program on the field before today's game with the Atlanta Braves. And so, look, I think anytime you can get guys, I mean, look – say what you want about Framber. I mean, he's an ace. Clearly, you look at Verlander, and he is a no-doubter, right? Even if it's not the Cy Young Verlander that we had a couple of years ago, he's still your number one starter. So when you're getting a couple of horses back like that, it's big. But Framber Valdez, let's start with him, Sean. Framber Valdez potentially coming back. By the way, this road trip they're expecting him to, or it's very possible that he makes a return on this road trip. It's eight ball games, right? You got three in Washington, three in Chicago versus the Cubs, and then two in Mexico City versus the Colorado Rockies. So within the next eight games, Framber Valdez will be back. And here's the deal, Sean. For me, why that matters is because the Astros leave things open-ended, right? All I knew was Framber was out. He was hurt, injured, and he's out, and it was elbow soreness. That could be anything from he'll be back on this road trip, or we could get a report that they had an MRI and he's done for the season. It was some kind of strain, right?
So yeah, I mean, Dana Brown.
This
did
is just
say,
good news because it's he'll be back sooner rather than later.
Yeah, Brown commented on Framber's situation. I want to say inside of a week ago, before one of the games here recently, and he didn't tell you exactly what the fear was in regards
right,
to his elbow,
right.
But rather just that. He thinks he's fine. He doesn't think it's going to be a big deal, and I'm paraphrasing. And luckily, this time it wasn't. Framber even played catch on the field the other day when he wasn't thought to be doing so. He joined Luis Garcia, Lance McCullers, in doing that. So that was a good sign, right? And the couple of reports earlier today by Adam Spillane, even more encouraging. It's going to be interesting to see over this road trip how the Astros approach the rotation going forward. The next time you'll see him, Verlander is going to be on the mound. As you said, Friday when they opened a three-game set against the Nationals. The thing to remember is between that series and the Cubs series, there's a day off. So they have April 22nd off. Then after that Cubs series, there's another day off to give an extra travel day to go to Mexico City. So how the Astros approach that, if they're going to skip somebody in the rotation, it does a couple of things. It'll give Justin Verlander an extra day of rest with the built-in day off, really two of them, if they see fit. And it gives Framber Valdez an opportunity to ramp up and place him into an optimal situation to where, look, the last time you saw him on a mound, he was vintage Framber. He was badass.
Yeah.
He again gave you an opportunity to win a ball game. So I think you're just looking for the best way to slot those two guys in their return. And then you have to keep in mind too, Ronel Blanco, JP France, Hunter Brown, you know, Christian Javier, how's that going to affect them? So it's going to be interesting to see how that goes over the course of the next seven or eight
days. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. Sean alluded to it there, but the big news is Verlander isn't just back, but he is scheduled to start Friday in Washington. In fact, Forrest. Damn. My man Forrest.
Damn.
Forrest Whitley.
We hardly knew you.
Man, he been optioned back to Sugar Land, huh? How many options he got over 8 years? Good God.
I don't know. It doesn't matter. He's got four more this year.
Is that what it is to year?
So you got five. He's been optioned now once, so he has four more this year.
So he's got a little life there left. I mean,
hope you enjoyed your time, man.
I'm at a point where I really hope we don't need him. But nonetheless.
You know what Forrest, I was hoping? I was hoping he'd come in last night and be badass.
You and me too, man.
And get a couple of spots in there, and then you can trade him for, I don't know, somebody that plays first base that can hit a baseball pretty routinely. Yeah,
nice. I just wanted the guy to come in and be lights out so he doesn't do something crazy, so he doesn't just quit baseball or something. I just needed it. But nonetheless, Forrest Whitley, not Whitaker, but Forrest Whitley is optioned and four.
I'd rather have Forrest Whitaker.
You're right.
Not his eye though. You want Forrest Whitley's eyes on Forrest Whitaker's body.
Good point. Well, I don't know. He can't see the plate. I don't know. He has a hard time controlling stuff.
These but are good points too.
Nonetheless, Justin Verlander again. I mean, and here's the thing about Justin, right? With Framber, it's just some kind of update from a timetable that we as fans can say, okay, it's not season ending. It's not long term. He'll be back in the next. What'd you say? That's 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 days. They're expecting Framber to be back in the rotation, and Justin's back Friday. The thing with Justin Verlander for me is, with both of them really, is the shot of confidence that this gives this team as they try to dig out of this 6-14 hole. There's no doubt about it, that shot, or a shot, I don't know how powerful it is, comes with Framber and Justin Verlander. And the impact that Verlander, we all know what he can do physically on the bump, but the shot in the arm that Justin Verlander can be to this roster as he's traveling with the team every day, he's in and around the team every day, obviously in the clubhouse and on the bench when he's not pitching, I don't think that should be undervalued, minimized. I think there's a chance that could be big for this squad as well.
Good. They've performed for him ever since he'd put on an Astros uniform. What was the stat that I gave you guys earlier they flashed up before the game today?
38 and something? What was that? I don't
remember. Like 39-8.
There you go.
2.22 ERA, right?
Yeah, on the road.
On the road.
Yeah.
For Astros, Justin Verlander, when he pitches for this ball club, that's what that they perform. And I have to imagine he's probably, sat back and will probably sit back and do a little bit more observing maybe before he makes his presence maybe felt even more now that he's back on the day in and day out with this club. Is he seeing what's going on? He understands. He's hearing rumblings of, you know, player concerns and maybe the pressure has to be getting to some of these younger, lesser experienced guys. And I think if there's anybody that can add at least a calming sense to the situation for the Astros, you'd have to think it would be, you know, Justin Verlander and Framber Valdez, because those are two guys that have proven to you that you can rely upon. And when you get those guys back and Ronel Blanco's pitching as well as he is to start this season, Christian Javier seems to be back as well, things could turn around pretty quickly as much as they've seemed to spiral through the first 20 games. And hey, you're not in the AL East. You're in the AL West. And right now that division, The top team is your Texas Rangers at 10-9. They're not exactly killing it. You're only 4.5 back.
Hell, you beat them a chunk of time, so they ought to feel pretty good about them, huh?
Yeah, I asked Patrick the other night, if I would have told you you split on the road with Texas and you win a home series against Texas before the season starts, you would have taken that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. You got to assume that we're in a pretty good spot.
Sure. And that is the pain in your ass that was, at least last year for you, the Texas Rangers. And you took care of business. Like, you would have taken that. The thing is,
would you have taken getting swept 3 of the first 6 series?
That's the other part of it. You played some pretty good teams, and you've not shown up. It has not been reciprocated.
So. The Astros lost today in heartbreaking fashion once again. Nothing that we haven't seen before this season. It's happened multiple times. But one of the hot button questions or topics right now is Jose Abreu at first base. And folks, you're not going to believe what Sean Bajani dug up. Some audio from today's game, post-game, Dana Brown, the general manager. You're not going to believe where Dana Brown is at with Jose Abreu. We'll tell you what he did today, and we'll tell you what Dana Brown had to say. This ain't pretty, folks. We'll do that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, the Astros drop another one in dramatic fashion. Extra innings, 5-4. They're going to the eighth with a 4-2 lead. Find a way with Presley on the bump. Find a way to allow the Braves to tie the ball game up 4-4. That inning also included an error by Jose Abreu. They got the top of the lineup coming up in the ninth, bottom of the ninth in a tie ball game. Can't get it done. They got the meat of the lineup in the tenth. Can't get it done. The Braves obviously pushed a run across the plate in the top of the tenth. Astros lose 5-4. The Astros now this season have been outscored 29-4 in the eighth and ninth innings alone this season. 29-4, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to add in the extra innings, the two extra inning games where they lost by a run, make that 31-4. If you want to add the 10th inning in there, 31-4. So the back end of the bullpen has been awful. And in crunch time, with runners in scoring position when it matters the most, the lineup has been awful as well. A big part of that problem, one of the hot button topics is Jose Abreu, the first baseman. Right now, Jose Abreu is the only guy worse than him in any major hitting category. On the team is Gray Kessinger, the only guy. You're looking at an average. Jose Abreu's 078.
Man, don't do Gray like that. He's probably got like a tenth of the at bats too.
I'm just telling you. Gray's got 9 at bats, man, and Abreu's got 51. But I mean, Gray's got zeros across the board. He hadn't had a hit yet, so obviously he can't get any worse than that. But that's the only guy that's worse than Jose Abreu right now. 256 OPS, 098 slugging. 158 OBP on base percentage, and then that average is he number 79?
79.
I heard you say it's his average has dropped below his jersey number.
Yes, officially.
So obviously the Abreu situation is a problem. He was 0-2 today, and again in crunch time, there was a throw across the diamond that he could have saved the day and ultimately helped Presley out in that inning, and he didn't get it done once again. So defensively, he hasn't been great. I think I'm putting that nicely. But the interesting part about this is how situations like this are addressed, right? I mean, clearly, when you look at this, Dana Brown didn't acquire Jose Abreu. This is a Jim Crane, Jeff Bagwell issue. That's why Jeff Bagwell spending an hour plus at the batting cage yesterday before the game trying to get that swing right and defending him in the booth with TK when he's up there, right? And today, obviously, after the game, Dana Brown was asked about Jose Abreu. And this is when you know it's bad. In my opinion, this is when you know it's bad. Your general manager, when asked about you, it's gotten to this point. I know you dug it up, Sean, but this is what the general manager, Dana Brown, is having to go to in defense of Jose Abreu.
So, yeah, Abreu is the conversation. And when asked, when the back of the baseball card doesn't matter, Dana Brown said, quote, "If a guy starts to free fall, you have to hit reset and think through it. If a guy doesn't hit free fall, you stick with the back of the baseball card. Joe Espada, after the game today, when talking about Jose Abreu, said pretty much the same thing. Look at the back of the baseball card. That is increasingly frustrating for everyone out there that is an Astros fan.
Well, Sean, but Sean, I'm shocked, bro, that this is where we're at with Abreu. The general manager is literally defining to me and you what look at the back of the baseball card means.
Yeah.
I've heard people refer to the back of the baseball card, which it's obviously this is a guy that's been great over his whole career. Let's not define him by 20-game stretch. That's what they're saying when they say look at the back of the baseball card. I understand that. But the problem is the general manager is literally having to paint a very, very detailed picture of what the hell he means.
Look, the back of the baseball card goes all the way back to 2014 with Jose Abreu. And 85% of his baseball card looks pretty freaking badass. However, you know, baseball cards, they have it broken down by year. And if you look at the back of his baseball card this year, you just rattled those numbers off. But here's the thing. Chandler Rome of The Athletic had this little nugget after the game today. Since been moving down to the eighth hole, Jose Abreu is a hitter, has been in the eighth hole for the last handful of games. He's had 7 at-bats with runners in scoring position. He's now 0-7 in the eighth spot with runners in scoring position. That's what the back of his baseball card says, and that's ass this year. And, oh, by the way, today, again, he was pinch hit for by none other than John Singleton, who ended up striking out again. So not only are you not getting production consistently out of first base from either one of those guys, but dang, man, they're not even doing their job in the field. Jose Abreu is a broken player right now, and you're tired of having Joe Espada kind of, you know, shoehorn some of the feel-good stuff in with the guys. It's early. They'll come around. I get all that. I get the mentality of the coach speak. At some point in time, Clint, your actions speak louder than words. You always can support your players, but your actions don't necessarily have to reciprocate that. You sit this dude's ass down for 2 weeks, and you make sure that he's right in the film room and off the tee and on the field. He has to go back to the basics. Between then and now, or now and then, you got to figure it out. And to me, it's patchwork. You want a patchwork? You're moving this guy all the way down from 5 to 8. Move him out, and then move Dubon and Caratini in at platoon at first base, because those guys, at least I know, have 10 times more of a capable bat than John Singleton and Jose Abreu could ever even dream of at this point in time.
Yeah, man, I'm with you. Everything you put out there, man, it's a reset. Is gosh dang, if it ain't what we've seen lately doesn't call for a reset at the very least, then I don't know what does. But to think your general manager is at a spot where he is literally telling a story about the back of the baseball, not referring to the back of the baseball card, telling the story, making sure everybody understands. Which I'm still not real sure, because I don't know what a free fall is, by the way.
That would have been my follow-up. What exactly is a free fall? Would it look kind of like...
What defines a free fall in baseball?
Oh, I don't know. You haven't hit over 100 yet this season through 20 ball games. Yeah. Oh, I don't know. You've got 2 errors in the last week at first base. Oh, I don't know. You haven't driven in a frickin' run with anybody standing on second base all season. Does that look like a free fall? And oh, by the way, that's been happening for a year and a half.
Are we at least standing at the door of the plane? Are we?
I feel like that's free fall. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. Let's. There's a lot going on with the Astros right now, man. And you know, it's all interesting, and it's never more interesting than when my man Larry puts his twist on. Let's see what Larry and Stafford has to say. Larry, what's going on, baby?
Hey, what's going on, Baytown badass? I see you got my boy Bajani in there again, so I figured I'd have to chime in, especially when I was driving and y'all was talking about panty dropping, because as soon as I hear anything about panties, I got to pick up the phone, so I figured I'd call in. Look here, y'all want to know what free falling is with Abreu? His damn jersey number. That's free fall. It's below that. And so the fact that he can't hit a baseball unless the bad baseball card got some big league chew on it or extra stick of bubble gum on it, I ain't looking at nothing. I see with my eyes every time he bring his ass on the field that unless he's going to morph back until he was 30 years old, He is experiencing exactly what all of us former great athletes all experience. Father Time has caught his ass, and he can't swing a baseball at the level that he should be playing in Major League Baseball. So now with Dana Brown and old Jeff Bagwell and old Mr. October and Jim Crane are going to have to do, they're going to have to eat that contract and figure out how to get him on this team. And then the reason for that, Clint, is this. They don't even look like they're having fun anymore. We miss the days when Carlos Carrera was saying, my time, and when Yuli had the funny hair, and Bregman didn't look like a red ass over there. Now all of them, Kyle Tucker and Bregman and all of them playing with scowls on their faces. Jose Altuve and chewed every fingernail off his finger because every time he come up the bat, he got to carry the load. So this is a mess. But this is the sacrifice we may have to make for them boys on Kirby to be good, man. Sometimes you got to just give up something to get something. And if it costs us the Astros not having a good season this year, for them boys over there to go to the Super Bowl, I'm all for it. And here, Clint, let me talk about this real quick. You know, when you play sports, man, it's one of those things, man, that mentally and physically it takes a toll on you. So maybe, just maybe, getting Verlander and Framber back to settle everything down and it starts looking the part. And then all of a sudden we get Eric Keady and Luis Garcia back. And so and then maybe it just settles everything down. But what the Astros better figure out real quick is what Presley and Hader are doing over there. Because like you said, Clint, I didn't like that look on Presley's face when he was on the mound. And I haven't liked it all season. Because I think there is a little something about him being moved out of spot. And when you do that to dudes like that, man, it has an effect on the whole team. But eventually, the Astros, I'm hoping, once they get that pitching rotation settled, everything is going to be fine. Last thing about them Texans, Clint, them uniforms, look, man, I don't give a damn what people think or say about the uniforms, because the uniforms is just an extension of us getting to the damn Super Bowl. I've already offered my opinion on it because I think they fire and I think they're going to be fine because your boy got a lot some real good taste in these kind of things like fine women and clothes and uniforms and cigars. I got a good eye for these kind of things. I think we're going to be fine. But the thing that everybody got to remember is this. We got C.J. Stroud, D'Amico Ryans, Tank. And then we went out there and got Danielle Hunter. And then we got Will come back. It's going to be a fun time over there on Kirby. So if y'all going to be whining about uniforms, y'all might want to find another little hill to die on. Because as long as them boys wearing them and throwing that football, your boy Stafford going to be happy in our hall.
God bless, brother.
Yeah, God bless you too, C.J. Stroud. And you too, Larry and Stafford. That's always, always beautiful. All right, that's all our time today, baby. That's T-Meal behind the glass. Making this thing, if you know what I mean. My man, Sean Bajani, big shout out, man. Appreciate you jumping on with us today in the absence of Ron Ugly. Ron will be back tomorrow. All is well on the home front. I got a little report, so we are good to go. Texans All Access is up next, 6 to 7 p.m. And you know they're going to talk about them four new unis that are dropping, new threads in H-Town, baby. And then, like every night, right here on Sports Radio 610. We're live and local till 11 p.m., y'all. Area 45 is rocking and rolling. It's been fun. What a day to be an Astros fan, huh? Houston, we love you, baby.
I'm 170 pounds with my wallet in my pocket, my wallet and my phone in my back pocket.
Keys, too.
6'1", a buck 70, baby. H-Town, come on through.
Holla at your boy.